You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the seventh episode of the ESO Dragon Con Report. Yes, folks, less than 30 days to Dragon Con.
I'm in the fetal position. No.
I know, folks. It's getting dangerously close. Really close. So close you can almost feel the geekdom building in downtown Atlanta. A glow is starting to grow across the city. And you're going, wait a minute, that's not Howdy Mike Gordon talking. Nope, it's Mike Faber talking this week. Sad to say that Mike Gordon is out with con crud. He came back from San Diego and he has not been the same.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad, actually. But, you know, I guess he just had a little too much howdy out in San Diego.
Ah, went to Tijuana, did he?
Yeah, well, I'm not commenting.
Ah, fair enough.
What happens in San Diego stays in San Diego, as we like to say.
Uh-huh.
But we have a fine crew with us this week. First, of course, sitting in with us, as always, Mr. Darren Noel.
I guess I'll do it. Howdy. Is that okay?
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's close. That's not too close. Bad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know, you get a valiant effort, you know. I think we should have everyone.
A little bit of an effort. I mean, not too much. I don't want Mike to think, you know, I'm going after his gig, so, you know.
No, God forbid, no. You know, he has so little to live for right now, being sick and everything. You know, if he thinks you're trying to take over his job, you know, he might just say, all right, that's it.
I can't wear that Hawaiian stuff. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
No, he pulls it off no better than anyone else, you know?
I do. I know that. It's frightening.
Really. Exactly. Especially when he secretly puts on that tiki head. But
No. Uh-huh.
That's a whole nother story. Of course, we have the lovely Mary Lou Who sitting in with us, too.
Hey, everyone.
How are you, Mary? You ready?
I am good. No, I'm not ready for Dragon Con. I have too much sewing to do between now and then.
Next but, silly question, please.
Exactly.
I am ready for Dragon Con.
So, how many costumes are you up to?
Oh, like 15.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's how many. You're at the con. She's going to be in her hotel room changing.
I think that's how many I'm going to take with me. We'll see how many I actually wear. I don't even know.
Oh, wow. You're going to make
But I only have like two or three new ones. So my debut listing is relatively short and my workload between now and then is relatively small. But while I am there is another story.
I'm really looking forward to your Judge Anderson one.
Thank you. Me too. I'm so excited.
That is going to be awesome.
I have to get a gun and I need to get some boots. So those are the last things on my list.
You live in Nashville. You shouldn't have no trouble getting a gun, you know?
Oh, well, it's an Airsoft MP5A3, which is actually a pretty difficult model to find, I'm discovering. So we'll see what happens.
But Mary Lou does bring up a point, and let's just say this right now. If you're getting a new costume, those boots, you need to break those in now.
That was one of our hints that we were going to talk about in a little bit.
Yes.
That's definitely one of the things we were going to talk about is, you know, when you're at the con, you know, if you have new boots, if you have a new pair of contacts you're trying out with your costumes, we'll get all into that. Break them in, you know, totally break them in. Do not try it for the first time at the con.
Yeah, yeah.
You will be miserable.
You will be miserable. It's true.
So we'll talk all about that in a few. We have a lot to get to tonight. We have a couple guests sitting in with us. Filling in from Howdy Mike Gordon, we have the award-winning Mr. Bobby Nash.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Bobby.
So happy to be here.
This is the first time this season we've actually had you up on the show.
I know. I was beginning to think you'd forgotten about me.
It's the star of the show. It's Sweep Weeks now.
Exactly. Why do you think we have you on? It sweeps, you know?
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Say, exactly. Okay. Oh, we have to have a name on here, of course.
Boy, if I'm the best name you could get, you're really in trouble.
Now you're finding out the truth, my friend. Now you're finding out the truth. We also have a newbie sitting in with us this week. She is works with, I guess, the Dragon Con media relations team. She's Dan Carroll's right-hand girl. We'd like to welcome to the show Sam Douglas. Welcome.
Hello. It's great to be here.
You want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I'm Dan Carroll's right-hand gal. I'm technically the media relations second, which, because they don't have assistant directors, that's my official title. And I'm also the interview room manager. So I run the entire interview room, and I work with the agents and with the reporters, and we schedule interviews, and a lot of cool stuff goes down in that room throughout the con.
So in other words, you're going to become our best friend at the con, right?
Probably.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, seriously.
Remember us? No, we don't play that kind of card. Mm-hmm, sure. We'll talk after the show.
Yeah, seriously, Faber. I'll play that card any day of the week.
Oh, we know. Well, if, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about Dragon Con. Like we said, folks, less than 30 days. So let's get real hopping. Let's talk about some Dragon Con news. Real briefly, we're not going to dive into it. We talked a lot about it over on Earth Station 1. Since last we came to you, there's been a huge, huge amount of news surrounding Dragon Con and its senior, I guess, leadership and reorg. Dragon Con has changed hands, basically. Same people, except for one. You want to get into that a little bit, Darren?
Well, just that Dragon Con reformed as a company under a new name, similar title, but new name. And Mr. Kramer, who used to be affiliated with Dragon Con, who is under quite a bit of controversy right now due to legal issues, and you can Google that to find out what all that's about, is no longer affiliated with the convention or making money off of the convention's proceeds. So that's basically the big news.
And hopefully ended a lot of the controversy that was surrounding that.
Indeed. Indeed.
And people who are holding on to that, get a life. That's all I need to say. And that's me saying it, not the show. So, so with that being said, also Dragon Con was referred to as Dragon, I guess, Star, Con, and I guess, what's an asterisk, wasn't it? It was Dragon.
I think asterisk, it was an asterisk.
Yes. Yeah, yes. It was known as Dragon Asterisk Con, and From this point forward, it's just known as Dragon Con. Two words, nothing in the middle. So it's open to all interpretations, and congratulations to the new name, to the new org. I think this is the beginning of some really bright and really cool stuff coming along with the con and everything. Mm-hmm. So it should be interesting to do. With that also being said, Darren and I actually took some time, and we actually went down to the hotels.
We did. We had a little bromance date.
We did, and we were videotaped doing it. And we're going to share that videotape with you folks. Coming this week sometime, we will put the announcement up on the Facebook page and also on the ESO Network page. We did a walkthrough of all the hotels and basically chatted out how far it would be to, you know, walk from the Sheraton over to the Hilton, then across to the Marriott, and then into the Hyatt, and then across again past the Amerismart, where the vendors are going to be, and then also to over to the Westin, and then back to Peachtree Center. And we did highlights. We talked to a few people on the way. It was actually a really nice time to do.
And we only got nearly arrested 3 times.
Exactly. You know, not terrible. You know, the folks at the Marriott were giving us the hairy eyeball, as we like to say.
Yeah.
But It should be out. It'll be up on YouTube, and we will basically, you know, we basically describe what goes on in each hotel. And it was really eerie actually being out there without, you know, all the DragonCon people.
Yep. It's like Klingons.
It's almost like
disturbing.
It's a ghost town in a lot of ways. So it was actually pretty cool to do. And I want to thank Vic for videotaping us. And he's also in the process of editing it. He edited, I think, 40 minutes. He's going to say it's about, he cut it in half. So in about 20 minutes. So it's very, very cool. So, but one of the things we did notice while we were out there is something we wanted to bring to everyone's attention. Throughout downtown Atlanta, especially along Peachtree Street, which is going to be the new path of the parade and such, they are putting down trolley tracks. And they are building a trolley from downtown Atlanta up through Midtown, up along Peachtree Street. And so they are going and having them, you know, basically tearing up the street. So if you're walking across the street in costumes and such, just be careful of construction. Wanted to
yeah,
bring
it's,
that.
It, yeah, it's a little south of where the hotels are right now. But I think it's moving north towards where the hotels are. So
exactly. They have yeah. they have like cones and barriers already up along the side of, I think it's the east side of Peachtree Street.
And obviously it's going to affect traffic because they're routing traffic around because you can't drive where they're laying down the tracks.
So. Exactly. So, and that's also where MARTA lets you out from the MARTA trains too. So just be careful of that. A couple of little other things I wanted to bring some attention. Check with Delta Airlines if you have, for some reason, have not made your flight reservations yet. They are offering a DragonCon discount.
Hmm.
You might have to call in to the airline, but check. I know if you're flying in that weekend and you let them know that you are, you know, coming for DragonCon, I think it's like up to 20% off some flights. So, and I've heard confirmation of people getting the discount. With that being said, as of today, I have right here in my front of my hands, right here, there are hotel availabilities in downtown Atlanta.
Wow. Some of these
are
is news.
That I'm going to read off a quick list real quick, and we're going to check out. This is the hotel availability update as of July 31st. So if you're listening to this the day before DragonCon, these are not going to be active, folks. You know, I just wanted to let you know. The only host hotel is that has any rooms left is the Marriott Marquis. But they are not accepting the DragonCon rate anymore. So hold on to your hats, folks. The Marriott Marquis is $499 a night for that weekend.
Holy crap.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. If you can afford it, go with it. You know, definitely do it. The Marriott's an amazing place to stay. There is so much happening. It's not even funny. Overflow hotels, though. The Fairfield Inn and Suites Atlanta Downtown is $289. The Glen Marriott Autograph Collection Hotel, which is over on Marietta Street, is $389 a night. The Ritz-Carlton Atlanta Downtown Hotel. This one took the cake, folks. This is $549 a night.
Yeah, it's the Ritz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be putting on the Ritz, my
friend. That is not Econo Lodge prices, no.
No. Sorry. You also have the Atlanta Hotel, the W Atlanta Hotel, at $379. The Atlanta Marriott Suites Midtown. That's up by Darren, actually. Mm-hmm. That's $195, and you can put an access code of DGCDGCA and get that price. Courtyard Atlanta Midtown Georgia Tech is $239. Homewood Suites Midtown is $299 through $329. Renaissance Atlanta Midtown Hotel is $195 a night. 12 Atlantic Station is $209 a night. Their passcode is, you ready for this one? DRAG. Drag.
Is RuPaul in town? I didn't exactly. get that memo.
The Hilton Atlanta Airport.
God, they should get him at DragonCon.
They definitely should.
They should.
The Hilton Atlanta Airport is 149 to 189, and that is the passkey site, which you can go through the DragonCon website. This is also another one. The Sheraton Gateway Hotel Atlanta Airport is 138 a night. That's also a passkey site. So you can check around. So if you actually can go to this website I went to, is actually if you go to something like hotels.com or like Priceline or something, you might even be able to find a cheaper rate. Also check around if you don't mind hotel hopping. I know the Hilton actually has rooms for Thursday night still available at less than $200 a night. And so, you know, that's also open still, but they don't have for the full weekend. So, you know, it's just some ideas that we have. Mm-hmm. Also, the Daily Dragon is up and running now. And they have a lot of information up there, which you can check out. Darren actually got some information for the parties.
Oh, crap. I should be on that website then, shouldn't I? Hang on.
Yes, you should. But not right. But how about we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Let's now then, while we have the time and we have Sam here, let's talk about media relations right now. What's going on with DragonCon, my dear?
Oh, DragonCon, it's getting busy.
really?
Just I mean, Dan and I do work year round pretty much. And it seems like, you know, by the time applications open or so in about March, it's a little slow, and then it hits June and we get a little busier, and then it hits July and I don't have a life anymore. And then it hits August and I think I leave my computer screen maybe an hour a day, like between work and my actual job. And in DragonCon, it gets insanely busy. And then after the con, we're busy too, but there's so much exciting stuff going on. They just added Lucy Lawless.
I know.
Oh yeah, we have a full list of. We have actually have 8 pages, and that's edited down of people of guests who have just been announced in the last month.
I mean, it's insane how many that they're adding. They have, you know, the cast of Arrow. They have several of those guys there, and I started watching that, so I have to say I'm kind of excited.
Calm down, Aaron.
Aren't you?
Aaron, calm down.
I am excited, sir. Leave me alone.
I'm very excited. I mean, it's going to be interesting. They have, you know, people from Game of Thrones are going to be there. Grimm. I think they have a couple people from Once Upon a Time. They have two of the original Fraggles.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty darn awesome.
So to celebrate that 30th anniversary there are a lot of big anniversaries we're celebrating this year. You know, Doctor Who's 50th, Deep Space Nine's 20th. That makes me feel so old. Fraggle Rock's 30th. That makes me feel really old. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, we get pages and pages and pages, like you said, of Daily Dragon stuff, even of, you know, the new stuff that's going on, and it's going to be an awesome year.
Oh, it's amazing how many guests you have, and you're still announcing a month before the show. You haven't even, you know, revealed everybody yet, which is amazing.
It's true. And it's, you know, it's a surprise for me too. And you would think that I would know what's coming, and I have no idea what's coming. So it's interesting to me where if I don't keep up on it, and you know, keep track of the announcements as they happen, then I'm getting interview requests and I'm like, oh really? They added that person? Oh yeah, they're on the list. That's great. it's kind of like Christmas for me when I open my email every morning.
That's always cool. It's always great when I see the announcements like, and now this person's been announced. It's like, and it's like, if you do it too often, I'm just going to hyperventilate right in front of my computer.
It's true. I think my husband's kind of tired of the squealing. There was a lot of squealing. I think I ran downstairs. I'm like, they added Lucy Lawless. And he went, and?
Oh, that's just cold.
And? He's like, I didn't like Xena. I'm like, she was in everything else. And, you know, once he realized she was in BSG, then he was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But he doesn't get as excited about the celebrities. He's more into, like, the nerdy type stuff. Like, you know, the really cool, like, the science panels are really awesome. And I know Mary's been in the interview room, and the old interview room was in the Hilton on the third floor.
And where's it going to be this year?
It is in the Marriott.
Ooh.
Because we are, the Hall of Fame has moved, remember?
Uh-huh. And we need to be close to the Walk of Fame, so we are right next door in the Marriott. Nice. Well, sort of right next door. But where we used to be in the Hilton was really cool, because right outside of our doors were, they would set up the telescopes to look directly at the sun. And that was, it was kind of cool to, you know, on a break, go out there and, you know, be like, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you looking at? And, you know, they'd tell us, and it was really neat. So there's all these little like nooks and crannies at Dragon Con that people just don't know about, and they need to discover it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. There's always something to see there and always something new to find, which is amazing. So what is your history with Dragon Con?
Oh, my history with Dragon Con. I believe this is my 7th year going. It's my 4th year working media relations. My 3rd year is the media relations second and the interview room manager. Okay. I started going. My husband actually went before we met. He would go with his friend, and we were dating, and he and his friend were going, and we live up in Chicago. So it's kind of a far travel. He's from Atlanta, and he told me, he's like, you have to come with me to Dragon Con. I was like, I don't know. You know, I've been to conventions, and I had only been to like the creation conventions before. And I was like, you know, I just don't know. I'm not sure I care. And he looks at me, he goes, Claudia Black's going to be there from Farscape. And
Farscape card played. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I may have fainted almost. I went, what? And that was my first Dragon Con. And I went 2 years just as an attendee. And then I ended up writing for a website that one of my friends had started with somebody else. And so we went again in that year, and her and I ended up leaving the website. And when I left the website, I emailed Dan and I said, you know, hey, I'm no longer with the site, just so you know. And I appreciate, you know, how nice you guys were to us as reporters. And he emailed me back maybe 10 minutes later, and he said, you want to be on my team? I went, okay. And the rest is kind of history. Like, I fell into the interview room kind of that first year, and it was in sad shape. I think we maybe had 20 interviews. And the agents and guests kind of went, we don't care. And then, we've grown. And last year we were about 75% full. And, you know, now I have agents emailing me going, hey, I have so-and-so. Do you have reporters for me? And so it's kind of cool, like, to know them on that level.
That's awesome. That is really, really awesome. Who have you been starstruck by lately or ever?
My first year running the interview room, I squealed when Eddie McClintock came in. I usually keep it together. I couldn't. He was very gracious about it. So for a while, the tradition was every time he'd see me, he'd hug me. So
that's awesome.
That was pretty cool. Star Trek, Edward James almost, every time he's there, he wanders into the room randomly. He came in one morning and sat down with his coffee, and he's like, what are you guys doing in here? And I'm like, well, interviews. He's like, oh, cool. I'm like, not your interview. Your interview's later. Oh, okay. Can I hang out? And we're like, yeah. And so yeah, he hung out for a few minutes and we talked, and then he meandered out, and about half hour later his handler comes running in. Have you seen Eddie? Really? He was just here. And I think it happened about 2 or 3 times that year where he would wander in and lose his handler, and then the handler would come in later, and we'd have to track down Edward James almost for our, like,
he's playing Hyde from Secret Service is what he's doing. That's pretty
funny. I think so. He was so just relaxed and chill about it. And, you know, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And it's like, you know, nobody's awake.
Yeah, no one's awake. And if they are, they're still drunk.
Exactly. So it's like, well, sure, I'll sit here and hang out with Edward James Olmos. That's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. Who else? Oh, the kid who played Malfoy on Harry Potter. He's not a kid anymore. He's an adult. I shouldn't say that. I can't remember his name. He played Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies. God, what is his name?
I never remember his name.
That's going to escape me. When we were up in the Hilton, there was an agent room next to us.
Oh, that was Tom Felton.
Tom Felton, yes.
Yes.
His agent's kind of green room was right next door to the interview room. And we were in the middle of an interview, and we kept hearing all these, like, squealing. I thought there were pigs outside. Like, I mean, these ungodly noises. And I poked my head out and was like, you know, bunch of squealy fangirls. And I love the fangirls. They're adorable. You know, but there's a big sign that says, you know, be quiet, interview in progress. And I poked my head out and I was like, hey guys, you know, keep it down. We've got an interview going on here. And they're like, okay. Well, and then the squealing would pick up again. Yeah, I think it was like about two times I went out there. And finally on the third time, I was just mad.
Uh-huh.
And I actually physically went out there and I closed the door and I was like, you have to knock it off. Seriously, you are ruining this interview I have going on. And the C's part, and there's poor Tom Felton standing in the middle of all these, you know, squealing teenage girls.
Oh, and he's not used to it? Come on.
And he just looks at me and he mouths, thank you. Oh, thank you.
you saved him.
Disperses. I was like,
You saved him from a great deal of peril.
Yeah, I got to go back to the hotel room that night and I'm like, I saved Tom Felton. It was great. But we get really cool stories. The guests just kind of hang out sometimes, and it's a quiet room. And if, you know, we don't have anything going on, we're always like, you know, yes, come by, you know, escape the crowds, you know, have a few quiet moments. I think some of the most fun interviews we've ever had would be like the voice actor guys. Billy West was hilarious.
Oh, he's fantastic. Billy can just keep you entertained for hours with just, hi, Billy, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And, you know, all the different voices are just talking to you and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
And you're crying by the end because you're laughing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. The guys from Invader Zim were hilarious.
Zim.
I had to pick them up from the Walk of Fame and, you know, take them upstairs, and it was like herding cats. I should have had one of those ropes that they held on to because, I mean, with the crowds and then just them wandering off, they're like, oh, what's that? It's shiny. I'm like, no, this way, up the stairs. That's all we have to do.
Well, one question I got to ask you is, what kind of advice do you have for a newbie coming to DragonCon for the first time? We ask everybody this.
My best advice is to plan ahead. I mean, you really, really need to prioritize at DragonCon, and you need to pick out your favorite things, and, you know, the things that you absolutely must see, and you know you're going to regret it if you don't, and then just kind of tear it down from there is the best thing that I can see. You know, if you're a big Stargate fan, then make sure you hit the mega panels with all of the guests and, you know, some of the individual guest ones. But sometimes, you know, when panels repeat, you might be hearing the same questions over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, plan accordingly is, I mean, that's my main advice, and walk with your elbows out.
Okay. And don't be afraid if you bump into somebody that, you know.
It sounds so stupid, but I used to work at Disney World, and when we would be closing the park, it was, you know, you're pushing through crowds, and it's, well, walk with your elbows out, and then it kind of gives you a little more personal space.
Mm.
But in a nice way, don't go knocking people over.
That is awesome. That is totally awesome. It's definitely an experience. 60,000 of your favorite fans.
It is. It is. But the, you know, the awesome thing about DragonCon is it's family.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone there is family.
Exactly. You get there and you go, I'm home, you know, basically. Because it's like everyone there has some kind of bond and similarity as you. They might not look like you. They might not act like you. But you're all there for a reason. Which is amazing.
It's the best feeling in the world.
Okay. Now we're going to have you put on your media relations hat.
Okay.
All right. What can you tell us that's new and exciting for Dragon Con 2013 that we don't know?
New and exciting that you don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I think you got the parade numbers from last year already. There are... well, you know about the Dragon Con charities, right?
Yes. Dan talked to us about that last month.
See, that's the problem, is that Dan talks about everything.
Well, here's a question, actually, that you'll be able to answer. What is the route that, because I've heard they're extending the parade route this year.
They are extending the parade route, and the last that I heard on that is that they're still working on that.
Gotcha.
I think there are a lot of various channels they need to go through.
Right.
To get things straightened out. And honestly, they want to make sure that it's the best experience for the fans and for the attendees, and so that they can get as many people to comfortably view the parade as possible. Because, I mean, I heard last year it was, what, 20 people deep in some parts?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, more than that. Yeah.
And there, I felt bad. My wife is kind of short, and she wasn't. I took her for the first time 2 years ago, and she wasn't able to see anything. And she was like, I can't see, you know. It's like I said, I would offer to put her up on my shoulders, but I think she wouldn't really. She'd think I'd drop her. And so I do, you know, I always tell people advice we give for the parade is it does get very crowded, and you have not just the Dragon Con people, you have people from all over the city coming to this parade because it's a free event. Mm-hmm. And people bring their kids and everything. I'd almost expect there's probably at least 20,000 more people than the attendees at Dragon Con, at least.
Oh, I would think more. I really would.
And because they, you know, advertise it on the news and the newspaper, and this has become such a well-known event. My first introduction to Dragon Con was the parade, and that was 8 years ago. So it's actually, you know, that's what people come for, you know. Who's not going into the con, they come for the parade.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, especially now with the kids programming that Dragon Con is really, I mean, they are really expanding the kids programming. It'll hopefully draw some of those families into the convention and get the word out there that, you know, not only do we have stuff for kids during the day, we have stuff for, you know, the tweens and the teenagers, and then we have some stuff that is going to be really cool, but surprise, it's also educational. And I don't think parents realize that. They just kind of think, oh, it's a bunch of people in costumes walking around. And, you know, we were at a party recently, and somebody had said, oh, you know, my friend was dressing up at a con, and they're, you know, kind of laughing and making fun. And I went, I dress up at cons. It's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
So are you a cosplayer?
Like, I'm not Mary Lou level.
But you're awesome.
I try. You know, she has 15 costumes. I might be bringing two.
So what costumes are you doing this year? Or is it top secret?
This year, if I have time to finish it, I'm hopefully doing Elizabeth from BioShock Infinite.
Oh, awesome.
I am a ridiculously huge BioShock fan. Like, so big it's not even funny.
Okay.
We have all the big daddies, I think, floating around the house somewhere. Last year we did the Fruity Odie Bar Girls.
Oh, really?
That was super cool.
That was very cool.
But like the cartoon version with the actual like huge bobblehead.
Oh, nice.
It was interesting. We did that, and then we did the Snouts from the Muppets. And they're, if you see the Muppet movie, they're in the
pink cow phenomena.
The phenomena. Yeah.
Yes.
The Snouts. So, yeah.
because I have pictures with my wife and you from 2 years ago.
There you go. And we actually got our picture taken with, I forget, one of the Muppeteers
who was really? That's awesome.
And it was very strange to have a Muppeteer fangirling for you.
That's awesome.
It was kind of cool. But my husband said this year, he said no costumes with heads that take up room in the car. So
yeah.
Heads, pare it down.
That's very, very awesome. Well, cool. And you know, how can people find you at DragonCon? Are you mostly hanging out at the with the guests and such, or the interview room?
I you can find me primarily in the interview room. I'll be floating around the Walk of Fame as well. I'll also kind of be in the media relations room, which I believe is the Greenbrier room this year.
Okay.
In the Hyatt. And then I'll be following Dan around a lot. So chances are, if you can find Dan and actually get him to stop for a minute.
We'll set out traps.
We'll put down Carol traps. It's okay.
Yeah. You have to wear your running shoes when you follow Dan.
That's just normal, everyday type thing anyway. Dan goes a million miles an hour.
I have never known somebody who walks so fast. He's amazing. And he knows everybody. And it's awesome. Because then I get to meet, you know, all these really cool people at the con and learn and see things that I've never seen before. Like, I saw Artist Alley for the first time last year. And I went, why didn't I do this sooner?
We have an Artist Alley? Wow.
We do.
And it is phenomenal. If you have never been to the Artist Alley, you need to go.
Because that's kind of a thing, too. People that work the convention, people that attend the convention don't always realize that the people that are working the convention rarely get to go out and experience the convention.
It's true. It's true. I sneak away for photo ops and autographs, and that's about it.
I totally understand that.
Of my own choice, Dan does give us, you know, time to get away and go to panels, but you know, I got a room to run.
Very, very cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us and giving us all this information.
Not a problem.
So now, to carry on to a little bit of what Sam was talking about, we have a guest list to talk about. More guests have been added, folks. You know, we thought we had a lot last month. That's part of the reason I invited Bobby Nash. He's going to actually help me with the list. Ready, sir?
Sure.
All right. I'll go first. Okay. We're starting at the bottom of the list. And okay. The very first one who was added, of course, Julian Sands is coming to Dragon Con. Of course, Julian's known for The Killing Fields, A Room with a View, Arachnophobia. He was also Jor-El in Smallville.
That's right, yes.
So, very cool. Welcome, Julian.
Okay, next up we have Malcolm McDowell. I think everybody probably knows who he is.
Small little actor. He does a lot of stage work.
He's done one or two indie movies. You know, probably best known for A Clockwork Orange, but he's also certainly done plenty of movies and TV shows as well, you know, including some Star Trek. He was in New Fantasy Island. He's on that show Franklin and Bash now, so he gets around.
He was also in Heroes.
That's correct. And I understand that he is going to be part of a Time After Time reunion with another guest that we'll be mentioning here in a bit.
Ooh.
Ah.
Okay, we also have George Lowe. George is mostly known for Space Ghost! So, it's actually very, very cool. He is the madman behind Space Ghost. It's very, very cool to get him at the con.
Yep, very, very funny man.
Yes.
Next up, we have Michelle R. Griffin. Michelle is a gifted psychic and medium, and she finds particular fulfillment in assisting with forensic cases. So she could really talk to you about how psychics help, you know, with missing persons or murder mysteries and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Next up is Darwin Cook. Darwin is known primarily, you know, for his comic book work. He's a writer. He's an illustrator. He's an animator. He's what I first saw him was actually DC New Frontiers,
mm-hmm.
what I knew him from. But I know he did Catwoman also for a while.
Yes, he's currently doing adaptations of Richard Stark's Parker novels as graphic novels.
Very nice.
And just won an Eisner Award for that, as a matter of fact, at San Diego. Next on the list, we have Bob Burton. Bob Burton, another Eisner Award winner, and he's, of course, you know, right here from Atlanta, best known probably for creating Flaming Carrot and Mystery Men.
And he is a really nice guy. Total Absolutely. Nice guy.
Yes, Bob is a cool guy. He's very, very approachable.
Yes, yes.
He'll talk your ear off. Not a problem. He's very, very cool. And, you know, Flaming Carrot was one of my first independent comics I had read. So it was very, very cool. All right. We also have Clint Black. Clint is a Savage Worlds Core Rules brand manager. He works at Pinnacle Entertainment. And he basically he works on like games and such. It's very, very cool. Books about World War II, Hell on Earth, Space 1889, Deadlands Noir, and Necessary Evil, which is very popular.
Very good. Next, we have an independent filmmaker named Brett Woods. Brett has done movies like Hell's Highway, Psychopathia Sexualis, and The Little Death, and he just completed a neo-gothic thriller called The Unwanted, so I'm sure he'll be talking about that.
Very cool. We also had Dexter Vines. Dexter's one of comic book's most prolific and well-respected artists, and he's also an inker. He has over 18 years of experience. Check him out. He'll be in Artist Alley.
Very cool, and I'm going to go ahead and apologize right now because I know I'm going to butcher this last name, but Mark Satrakian.
Hey, you did it.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Very good. Mark is he helped pioneer cutting edge animatronics for movies such as, you know, Men in Black, The Grinch, Mighty Joe Young, Hellboy, Pacific Rim.
That's very, very cool. We also have Zoe Palmer. Zoe is best known for playing Dr. Lauren Lewis in Lost Girls.
Oh, very nice.
And we have a lot of Lost Girls that was people just announced this last month. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking a lot of that.
Yep. And of course, you know, you can't have a Dragon Con without Lips Down on Dixie.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I paused for the Darren joke.
I'm in anticipation for it.
Yes. You know, Lips Down on Dixie, of course, they do the Rocky Horror Picture Show cast. Mm-hmm. And which is always a big hit at Dragon Con. There are always huge lines.
Yes, if you want to see Rocky Horror, you cannot show up when the movie starts.
Now, you pretty much need to get in line, you know, an hour or two before.
Early.
But you know what? That's a line, too. Even though you're waiting in line, the people in line are having so much fun before the movie starts.
Yeah, exactly. You don't care.
You don't care.
That's very, very cool. We also have Thomas Knowles. Thomas is a very well-known sci-fi writer, but he's also known for a lot of documentaries, and he narrates a lot of them on Discovery Channel. He also is the founder of Britton Knowles Publishing Group. Very well-known. So very, very cool stuff.
Nice. And for those of you that like to rock and roll all night and party every day, Kiss Nation is going to be on hand. Kiss Nation is the full makeup and costume Kiss tribute band.
Bobby's right up that alley, right?
That's right. I understand they're going to be performing, so.
Yes. We also have Matt Green. He is an FX special effects person, and he has done directing with the film Severed and Vicious and Bloodbath and Loaded Dice. It's very, very cool. He's also featured last year. He featured his film Zombie Invasion, which is very, very cool stuff.
Very nice. And our next guest here, Drew Props, has probably what is one of the coolest bios. So I'm just going to read it straight from the website here. Drew has worked on dozens of feature film and television projects. He has dropped Kevin Costner, bounced a grenade off of Daniel Baldwin, been scolded by Denzel Washington, leapfrogged by Dennis Franz, and once caught a cottage made entirely of cheese while crouched inches away from a bikini-clad Nikki Cox.
Can't beat that one.
No.
You know, the description right there is just awesome. We also have Casey Collins. Casey is another one from Lost Girl. He is, you know, Canadian film, voice, television actor as Hale from Lost Girl.
Very nice. We also have Lauren Bowles, who is best known for her role as Holly Cleary on HBO's True Blood.
Another one now from Lost Girl is Paul Amos. Paul Amos currently is Vex on Lost Girls.
Very good. We also have returning this year Marina Sirtis, who's on this little show called Star Trek The Next Generation, you may have heard of.
Yeah, but isn't she joining NCIS this year?
She has guest starred on NCIS a couple of times, yes.
Okay, yes. And of course, another Star Trek The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine veteran, of course, Michael Dorn, who's, of course, Worf. And if you want to go even older, he was on Chips, but we're not dating ourselves there.
Next up, we have Chris Man, you're giving me all the hard names. Chris Balasone. Chris started in the medical field 20 years ago as a licensed practical nurse and is currently a paramedic. He joined the Tri-City Paranormal 5 years ago and quickly moved up to the ranks and is now the director of the team.
Very cool. We also have Chris Holden Reed. Chris plays Dyson on Lost Girls.
We have Nicole Harsh. Nicole Harsh and Mike Sakuda are the Cross Swords. For over 20 years, the Cross Sword stage combat shows have traveled the world. Putting on these demonstrations, and I'm sure they will be doing that again here.
Okay. Now, all you Whovians, hold on. We have a doctor coming. We already had Sylvester McCoy announced. We have another doctor in the house. Yes, folks, the fifth doctor is coming to Dragon Con. Mr. Peter Davidson will be at the show.
Very nice. And next up.
Yep, my doctor. Thank you.
Celery man.
Celery man. Eat scarf man any day. Yeah, I said it.
And no, no. There's room in fandom for all of us.
Liar!
That's right, darlings.
Yes. Next, we have actually Cross Swords. We mentioned a minute ago Nicole. Cross Swords will be there performing. So
exactly. I guess I got lucky. And another Doctor Who guest, we get to welcome Mickey the Idiot. Noel Clark will be at. Be at the show, and he is, of course, also in the current Star Trek movie, mm-hmm. Into the Darkness.
This would be his first Dragon Con, correct?
Yes, pretty awesome.
Yes.
So, wow, and it seems like I get all the Cross Sword ones, because we mentioned Mike Sakuda is also part of Cross Swords, and he will be there as well.
Very cool. We also have Karen Prell. Karen is a puppeteer, worked with Jim Henson and the Muppets for 16 years. She was most notable as Red from Fraggle Rock, which is very, very cool. She also became an animator, and she's worked on Toy Story 2, and also for Valve, the computer company. She's worked on Portal 2, which is very, very cool.
Nice. And another Muppet Show guest is Catherine Mullen. She was a Muppet performer as well. She played leads in Fraggle Rock and The Dark Crystal. And she is also the co-creator and principal puppeteer on the PBS reading series Between the Lions.
Awesome. So. You said Michael K. Friff. Michael is a Random House author, illustrator, editor, and art director. Man, he has a lot of roles. He has done Dr. Seuss, The Muppets. He's also the 20-plus years head of design, producer, executive VP. He's a co-creator of Fraggle Rock, Muppet Babies, etc. Very, very cool. And he also worked on Between the Lions with his wife, Kathy.
Nice. Doug Bradley is returning to join us again this year. Doug Bradley is probably most famous for his role as Hellraiser's Pinhead. That's right. Oh. Yes. Yep. Very cool.
So just don't walk up to him and just start sticking pins into his forehead, though. He doesn't like it. We also have Scott Wilson. Scott is best known of recently working on The Walking Dead as Herschel. You're going to be amazed. He has two legs, folks. It's pretty incredible.
He's another DragonCon newbie as well.
Yes, he is.
So, also, we have Nicholas Vince. Nicholas played the Chattering Cenobite in Clive Barker's Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2 Bloodhound. He was also in Nightbreed as well. So, I understand the cable cut restoration is being shown around the country. So, we may get a preview of that at the show.
Okay. We also have Craig Sheffer. Craig is an American film and television actor. He's known for his leading role of Aaron Boone / Cable in the film Nightbreed. I'm not familiar with that one.
All right. We also have Matt Nitschke. Matt is another one of the Atlanta local actors, puppeteers, and he is one of the co-creators of the very popular Bob and Carl Sci-Fi Janitors web series.
We've actually had him on the podcast before.
Yes.
We also have Sifu Kissi. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that last name. As a martial arts consultant for Nickelodeon's hit Avatar, The Last Airbender, as well as the Kung Fu Panda animated series.
Very nice. We also have John Hudgens. John is an award-winning filmmaker, animator, and artist who has directed documentaries, several award-winning Star Wars parody films, and worked professionally on such properties like Babylon 5, Crimson Skies, MechWarrior, and Star Wars.
Very cool. Someone else we've met in the past is Kim Hollick. Kim is a longtime costumer from Middle Ages to today's sci-fi and fantasy TV show. She is the director of Time Gate's costuming track. So we've met her at the show a couple times, actually. And Kim has also written essays on Harry Potter, Doctor Who, and J.R.R. Tolkien. So it's very, very cool.
Right. In the comic track, we're very excited to welcome back Gary Gianni. Gary is an Eisner and Spectrum award-winning illustrator who works in comics on things like The Shadow, Batman, Indiana Jones, Monster Men. He's done some Hellboy work. I believe he did some design work for Pacific Rim as well.
Mm-hmm. We also have Corey Castellano. Corey is a professional makeup artist for over 20 years. His work includes Teen Wolf, Pirates of the Caribbean 2, 3, and 4, Connor Chronicles, War of the Worlds. We can keep on going. He's worked on tons of stuff. It's very, very cool.
We also have Catherine Lee Scott, who starred in the original Dark Shadows and House of Dark Shadows. She even had a small role in Tim Burton's Dark Shadows remake. She's appeared in Star Trek The Next Generation, Space 1999, Hammer House of Horror. And recently, she has been writing novels based on the original Dark Shadows series that she starred in.
Fantastic. All right, we also have Laura Parker, and Laura is also best known for her role as Angelique on the cult television show Dark Shadows. So it's very cool. We might have a mini reunion of Dark Shadows at Dragon Con this year.
She has also been writing Dark Shadows novels. I believe Miss Scott and Miss Parker have been writing some of those together.
Yes.
So, very good. And we'd also like to welcome back another Atlanta regular, Mark Brooks. Mark is an illustrator currently working for Marvel Comics. He works on titles like Guardians of the Galaxy, The Avengers, and New Avengers, and Avengers X-Men.
Okay, we also have Michael J. Lane. Michael actually is a scientist, and he is working on building an elevator that is going to take people into Earth orbit. And his first project that he's doing as a test is an elevator from the moon into lunar orbit. It's very, very cool stuff.
That is very cool. Next up is another comic creator, Georges Genty, who is another regular at Dragon Con. You know, Georges has done a lot of work. He is also an Eisner Award winner and a New York Times best-selling author for his work on Joss Whedon's Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics.
Very cool. We also had Ona Grauer. Ona is best known for her portrayal of the ancient Aenea, and later Emily Young in the science fiction television program Stargate Universe. It's actually very, very cool.
Very nice. And Luis Ferreira, who played her husband on Stargate, will also be there. He played Colonel Everett Young in Stargate Universe.
Exactly. And, you know, hate to put this one out there. You know, no one's wanting to see this guy. Stephen Amell, you know, Stephen has a little show on the CW. It's called Arrow, and he plays Oliver Queen.
Heard of that?
Yeah. So it's going to be actually almost a full cast reunion of Arrow coming to DragonCon this year. And Darren's going to be there in the front row, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And, of course, these last three that were mentioned are all DragonCon newbies.
Yes, sir.
So a lot of first-time guests this year, which is really cool. We also have Chelsea Munro Castle. She is a lifelong artist and fan of fantasy. She is the author of the Game of Thrones food blog, Inn at the Crossroads, and the official cookbook, A Feast of Ice and Fire.
That sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Right, that book is pretty fantastic.
Yes, very much so. Actually picked that up for Judy actually recently. We also have Dominic Keating. Dominic, of course, is best known as Malcolm on Star Trek Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. We also have Russell Charrington. Russell is an award-winning filmmaker and was the director of Nightbreed the Cable Cut, which is a restoration of Clive Barker's lost horror classics.
Very cool. We have Jose Delbo. Jose is an Argentine artist, best known for his works like on The Twilight Zone, Brady Bunch, Hogan's Heroes, The Monkees, Mod Squad, and many, many, many more. It's really amazing.
Okay, we also have Peter Shinkoda. Peter is best known for his roles on Falling Skies, Power Rangers, and iRobot.
All right. We also have Christopher Judge, another Stargate person, and he's best known as Teal'c. Of course, very popular character on the show.
Absolutely. We have Merrill Hagen, who is a writer and producer for animated TV shows like Teen Titans Go!, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and Stroker and Hoop. He has also written comics for Marvel, DC, Virgin, IDW, etc. You can see his work every Saturday morning on Cartoon Network's DC Nation.
Excellent. We also have Louis J. I'm going to kill this last name. Xochitl? For all you gamers out there, every time you play a game like D&D or such, or role-playing game, you should thank this man. He is the inventor of the 3, 5, 14, 16, 24, and 100-sided die. He is the one who makes sure you have that many hit points, folks.
So he is gamer royalty is what you're saying.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, he's gamer royalty. You know how long it takes for a 100-sided die to stop rolling?
I don't even want to think about that.
We also have Brian Fordney. Brian is an animation director on FX's hit show Archer, which is created right here in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm.
And also going along with Archer, we also have Chai Dong. Sorry if I killed that name. I'm really, really sorry. Chai is a character designer on FX's show.
Very nice. We also have the New York Disco Villains. This is a multimedia new wave carnival wrapped up in catchy, quirky songs. The music has been compared to Oingo Boingo, They Might Be Giants, and the B-52s. Videos
Holy
of bad
crap, that's yeah. like a storm for me.
Videos of bad sci-fi, nuns, and plastic surgeries serve as the backdrop to their energetic live performance.
Awesome. We also have, of course, we have Melissa Hutchinson. Melissa is best known currently as Clementine from the Walking Dead video game. She also was known as Ash in League of Legends and many other games.
And we also like to welcome Robert Alsop. Robert is a costume and prop maker who played a big part in bringing Judge Dredd to the screen in 2012.
Very cool.
Awesome.
We also have Roy Woolley. Roy is an Atlanta-based special effects makeup artist and is best known for his appearance on Sci-Fi's Face Off. He created some of season 3's most memorable makeups and also gained the title of King of Fabrication.
Very nice. We'd also like to welcome back Van Jensen, another of the local creators who we also had on ESO a couple of times. Van is probably best known for writing and creating Pinocchio Vampire Slayer, which was a series of graphic novels. But Van has also currently just started writing Green Lantern Corps for DC Comics.
Very cool. Congrats, by the way, Van, if you're listening. We also have Russell Hornsby. Russell can be seen on Grimm.
Very nice. Our next guest has been in just about everything. But you know what? All you have to do is say one little letter and everybody knows who he is. John DeLancey, best known as Q from Star Trek The Next Generation.
He was in James Bond? Awesome.
He has done a little bit of everything.
Very, very cool. We also have Claire Coffey. Claire is also on Grimm as the seductive villainess, Adeline Shade.
Adeline Shade.
Adeline Shade? Okay, mm-hmm. I stand corrected. Very cool.
Another one, I believe this is also the first time for Grant Bowler, who is currently stars as Nolan on the sci-fi television series Defiance.
Very, very cool.
Also in the game as well. He does work for the game as well.
Very nice. We also have Charlie Schuyler. Charlie is on, used to be one of William's favorite shows, Kit Barwowski. And he played Kick, of course. He is also the voice of Buzz, the Honey Nut Cheerios bee. And he was also on Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke for 7 seasons.
Very nice. We also have one of, you know, every year Dragon Con always, you know, pulls out one or two of the big guns, people you would not expect to do conventions. Mm-hmm. And this guest, he hates Spunk, but we're so happy that Ed Asner is joining us.
Yes. Just walk up to him and hand him some balloons. He'll get it.
Yeah. Ed Asner obviously is probably best known as playing Lou Grant on Mary Tyler Moore and his own show, Lou Grant. But he's another one of those guys that has done so many different things. He's, you know, those who saw the movie Up, of course, will recognize his voice. But of course, to me, he will always be the voice of DC villain Granny Goodness.
Granny Goodness, yes, that indeed.
Awesome. We also have Ray Snyder. Ray is a 20-year veteran of comics, including Wonder Woman, Fables, JSA, and Young X-Men.
We also have Sanford Green. Sanford Green has worked in comics and animation for easily over a decade. Very talented creator. He's currently working on Rotten Apples for Dark Horse Comics and 1000 with MTV Entertainment. And he also co-developed a young illustrated chapter novel called An Army of Frogs.
Cool. We also have Casey Willis. Casey is also involved with Archer.
Very nice. We also have Amber Nash, who I don't believe is any relation.
They live here in Atlanta. You never know.
You know, I'll have to go up and introduce myself just so I can find help. But Amber is an actor and improviser living in Atlanta. She provides the voice of Pam Poovey on FX hit series Archer.
Sploosh.
Exactly. We also have, of course, Lucy Lawless is coming back to Dragon Con. That's right, folks. Xena is coming to Dragon Con. Very, very cool stuff.
Very nice. We also have Heather Henry. Heather is a makeup FX artist who is part of with season 2 of Face Off, but has also worked on shows like Prison Break and Dallas, and worked on movies such as I Spit on Your Grave and True Grit.
Very cool. We also have coming back friend of the show Stephanie Glidden is actually coming to Dragon Con. She is actually real excited about this one. Stephanie, of course, is an illustrator extraordinaire. She's worked on this with the Simpsons comics, Powerpuff Girls, SpongeBob. A lot of people know her for her Jingle Bell work. Mm-hmm. And she, also the Girls of Monster Paradise.
Mm-hmm. And she's currently working on Peanuts.
Exactly. Which is really cool. We actually had her on ESO not that long ago.
Cool. Another ESO regular, Peter Cutler, who worked on Tiki Zombie with our own Mike Gordon, will be at returning to the show.
Exactly. And last but not least, announced today, James Cosmo. James is best known as Angus MacLeod in Highlander, but he was also Father Christmas in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Very nice.
So that is just an abbreviated list, folks. We could have gone on for hours with how many people they've announced. This is edited.
And I'm sure the convention added 20 while we were reading this.
Oh, of course.
Probably,
they did.
Yeah.
Wouldn't doubt that. So we're now going to actually sit down, and we are going to talk to Trek Track's assistant director, RJ Lennon. Welcome, sir. How are you tonight?
Fabulous. And yourself?
Welcome to Earth Station One. It's very good to have you up here. Trek Track's, you know, it's Star Trek. You know, it's probably one of the more active tracks. And, you know, your guest list so far they've announced is amazing. And they actually just announced recently John DeLancey coming.
Absolutely. We're extremely ecstatic to see him back, as well as the most recent announcement of Marina Sirtis and Michael Dorn as well.
Yes, very much so. And it's just amazing. You know, it's like Trek has such a rich history and everything, and it's so cool when you guys get these actors to come to Dragon Con. So it's great with that. Tell us a little bit, for those who don't know, what is Trek Tracks? What can you offer people coming to Dragon Con?
Well, every year we try to change it up a little bit. There are certain things that we always do every year. But the idea is we're trying to create something that gives a little bit of something Star Trek to everyone of each genre. We want people that are part of the original series to feel comfortable and come and see a little bit. We want people for Next Gen. We want people for DS9 and Voyager, and even those Enterprise fans. We want to try and appease them a little bit as well. The idea is to try and give a little bit of to something, and then focus a little bit more on one thing each year. For example, this year the big focus is the anniversary of DS9, so DS9 is our focus.
Well, you've got a great lineup. You actually even have Terry Farrell. I've never seen her at a con before.
And this is her. She's actually a Dragon Con virgin, so we're ecstatic to have her.
That is awesome. That is really, really awesome. When I saw it, it's like I was joking about it, say, ooh, I wonder if I should go dressed as Rodney Dangerfield and come up to her. So it would actually be, you know, it's kind of cool. That's a back-to-school reference for those who don't know. But it's actually, she's, you know, a very versatile actress. And, of course, you have Avery returning this year.
Absolutely. And he's, for those that don't know, I've vocalized it many a time publicly. He is my favorite Star Trek actor on any of the series.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So to have him there is a huge boost for me.
Yes, he is. He is my favorite Starfleet captain too.
That is awesome. No, he was wonderful on the show, and loved him even before he was on Star Trek. But Star Trek is what I'm most familiar with him, which is really nice. Who else do you have coming this year?
This year we have George Takei, we have William Shatner, we have, I'm just pulling up my list, sorry.
That's okay. Are you going to put Shatner and Takei in the same room together, or?
It would have been nice to see them up on stage together, but unfortunately our scheduling just didn't work out for that because of the other things that Mr. Takei and Shatner are doing at Con. Schedules couldn't mesh this year.
See, I was looking for maybe a crossover with the wrestling track. You know, we throw them in a ring and you know, let them solve their differences once and for all. You know,
we also have Cirque Lofton. I already mentioned Michael Dorn and Marina Sirtis. John DeLancey. We also have David Warner. Best known in Star Trek to people as the Klingon Chancellor in Undiscovered Country. And we do actually have a solo panel scheduled with him on Monday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Nice.
That is really, really cool. Do you ever get any of the actors from the movie at all yet? Or is that still too fresh?
The new movie, we haven't had any from since we've taken over the track in 2010. But I do know that Spock. Sorry, Zachary, my mind's drawn blank. Zachary Quinto has been at Con in the past, but it was in 2008 before the DS or the reboot.
He
was there for Heroes.
Yeah. Heroes, yeah.
Yes.
We always would love to have them there. And we've always put it in for our requests to Dragon Con when they go out looking for people.
Right.
Unfortunately, they haven't been able to work out any contracts with them yet due to filming issues and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
They're
I'm
pretty
sure.
busy guys right now. So
very young, busy actors who are doing everything they can to get their names out there and just make themselves even bigger.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, of course, we can't forget Garrett.
Oh, Garrett's going to be there. It's his fourth year as director, and it's great working with him. He's going to be moderating quite a bit of panels, and as always, he'll be hosting the Miss Universe pageant.
That is awesome. For Garrett, for those who don't know, we're mentioning Garrett Wong, and of course, Garrett was Ensign Kim on, of course, the wonderful Voyager. So, you know, it also is a little plus having him as the director, so... And we were going to try to get Garrett on the show with us, but we're glad to have RJ here with us. So it's very cool.
He did ask me to pass along a regretful apology for not being able to make it. Filming conflicts as well as convention conflicts. It just didn't work in with his schedule.
That's okay. We'll have him on the show again. We're not going anywhere, so.
Yeah. Then we also do have three other guests that are non-Star Trek actor-related, but back behind-the-scenes sort of thing. We have Peter S. Beagle, who is best known for his writing of the episode Sarek from the Next Generation.
Sure.
We have Peter David, who's been there with us from the get-go, who always closes out for us and has written a lot of Star Trek-type books.
It's just wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see Peter at a convention again.
Indeed, indeed.
Yes, and after his recovery, it's great that he is going to make it again this year. His room. He always fills the room every year for closing. It is the last panel when a lot of people leave, and yet he is always there, packed. People listening to him talk about writing. And then we also have Sherilyn Lambeth, who is best known for her time in Star Trek The Experience in Vegas when she did the costuming there, and she's going to be doing the costuming panel with us again this year.
Amazing. That is awesome.
And then we also have Vic Mignola, who is doing the new Star Trek Online series, a webcast, we're also doing a viewing of the pilot episode and a talk with him about playing Kirk on the new web series.
Which of the web series is it?
Star Trek Continues.
Continues, okay. Yes,
exactly.
There's just a couple different ones, so I was just curious. So that's very, very cool. That's nice that you got a very well-rounded guest list and such. What kind of panels do you guys have, and where are you guys located?
We're located in the Sheraton. We're in the Athens room. Types of panels we have, we're starting off with an opening ceremonies and then a look of Star Trek over the years. We're going to do a brief overview looking at the original series and work right up into the reboot and focus a lot on the new 2013 movie and talk about that and how it relates to Star Trek in the past and try and compare them a little bit. We're also doing some large room panels where we have a solo chat with Mr. Shatner and George Takei. We are talking about, we have a writer's panel with Peter S. Beagle talking about writing the episode Sarek. We actually have a panel that is History of the Federation, and we're looking at the growth of the Federation from its conception all the way to pre-reboot timeframe. We have two trivia contests that we're going to be running. One's going to be a general trivia.
Okay.
Focusing on the pretty much everything Star Trek, expanded universe, and non. And then we also have a second Star Trek trivia that we're running as it is the DS9 anniversary. That's focusing strictly on DS9.
Wow. There,
you there is a minor prizes that go to the winner, and as well they get the title Star Trek Geek 2013.
Oh wow, that's awesome. So
every year we've also been doing Klingon karaoke. That's going to continue again this year, and we have a games night that we're doing this year.
Are you guys 24 hours, or do you just have? Are you just going up to like 11 o'clock or so?
We our main plan programming runs till 8:30 every night, and then 8:30 we have an after hours sort of thing. For example, on Friday we have the Klingon karaoke, and that will run until the room clears. Last year it went till 3 a.m.
Gotcha.
Once the room clears, we close the doors, we lock them, we go sleep for a couple of hours, and then reopen again at 10 in the morning.
Gotcha. That's very cool.
The one thing that is a little bit different this year, we are actually running, it's a little bit sad, we're running a memorial to one of the former panelists that did a lot for Trek Track over the years. Tanya Spanks passed away last year just before Con. And this year we're doing sort of a tip the hat to her, a memorial for all the thanks to her for what she's done. And it's bringing back something that we haven't run since Garrett and I took the helm. It's the Starfleet Kitchens, and it's a look at the types of food within Star Trek. There won't actually be any cooking like had been done in the past because of regulations and stuff, but we are looking at having the food types and various films and pictures and stuff like that of the types of foods from Star Trek and how to make it realistic from the show.
That's amazing. That sounds very cool. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you guys have a web presence and such?
We do. We are. Our website is trektrack.org. Our schedule is actually going up tonight. It is tentative because things can change, as you're aware.
Oh, yeah.
However, our website is a really good place to keep track of everything. Then we also do have a Facebook group that's managed by a fan, not one of our staffers, but he is one of our formal volunteers, Scott Crisp. And myself and Garrett are on there as much as we can as well, and he basically posts anything that we need to get out there. He's been posting a lot about the world record attempt that we're going to be having this year, as well as the Miss Universe pageant, and pretty much anything and everything Star Trek related for DragonCon.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you about, is the world record event. You want to tell people about that?
Well, the world record attempt is essentially allowing or trying to get as many Star Trek fans in canon-type costumes in one room for a period of time. The record is currently held in the UK with 1,063. Our goal this year is to beat that. We did the record attempt in 2010 and did hit the record, but it was beaten literally a month later in Vegas and then beaten again in the UK in a very short time frame, so we never actually got into the books.
Oh, wow.
So it got beat before the record was actually formalized, and the other record was the one formalized to hold the record.
So how many people are you talking that you need for this, actually?
We are looking to at least hit 1,100 people. The record is 1,063, but we need as many people there as possible because Guinness may decide that certain costumes, when they see the photos, because we take photos of everyone in the room, we take video evidence and everything, they may say that this costume doesn't count, and they do a formal count themselves as well, and they are the final say. So our numbers may say that we hit 1,200 people there. They may say we only hit 1,135 because they discounted certain costumes because they're just too different from what would be in canon.
That's awesome. That is very, very cool.
We want as many people as possible. If we can get 2,600 people in that room, we want 2,600 people in that room. If we can have all 50,000 people at DragonCon show up, we want all 50,000 people from DragonCon there to do this record again.
That is very cool. When is that tentatively scheduled, or is that already definitely planned?
It is planned. We are having it Sunday at 7 p.m. in the Atrium Ballroom in the Marriott.
Oh, perfect.
If that does change, it will be posted on our Facebook page. We'll be broadcasting it on Twitter. We'll be broadcasting it on our website. We will, and we'll be putting it in the Daily Dragon so that everyone knows so they can make sure they get to the, a place if it does change or time changes. Any changes on something that big, we need to make sure that everyone knows that people don't get confused.
Oh, sure. Of course. Well, man, sounds like you guys have a full plate ahead of you, and we're looking forward to stopping by and checking out some of the programming.
I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the stuff as well, because a lot of our programming is, although is designed and put forward by myself and the Trek Track staff, a lot of the submissions also come from the fans. Without the fans, we wouldn't be here. And those fans are also the ones doing some of these panels, and they provide so much more information to these types of things than we could ever hope to provide. Okay. I know certain things, but I don't know it all. So to have these fans provide that much more information to the other and get the conversation going just makes the experience so much more.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we appreciate you coming by, and hopefully you will have less than 30 days to be fully prepared for this. But whoever can be fully prepared.
We take it one step at a time, and when the changes go, we go with it.
Well, thank you for joining us, sir.
You have a good one.
Thank you. Live long and prosper. I want to thank RJ Lennon to talk with us a little bit about the Trek Track. It is actually going to be amazing, all the Star Trek people they have coming to the show. And, you know, I still want to get together with Shatner. I think it would be awesome to, you know, meet him again in person. I had met him years ago in Aspen, Colorado, and he was really personable guy if you get a chance to walk up to him. But, you know, he usually has his people around him and such.
I bet he would be awesome in the geek seat.
Oh, the stories he would be able to tell.
He is a really, really cool guy.
Yes.
Ask him about his horses sometime, and he'll go on and on and on. It's amazing.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. Shatner just looks, I think he finally realizes this is who he is, and, you know, he doesn't hide it anymore. He's not all as ego as he used to be and such. Oh, who am I kidding? Of course he is. He's Shatner.
But he wears it well. It works. Yes,
he does.
He's ego in the best possible way.
Very, very true. Okay, now here on the DragonCon Report, we are going to welcome a newbie to the show, actually. Let's welcome Raven, and she has a newbie report for us.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm Raven. I am a professional photographer. I also run a podcast with a few friends of mine. We are the Death Star Canteen Podcast. I go to conventions, I cosplay, and just do a lot of geeky stuff.
So, actually, Mike Gordon actually arranged all this for you to come. You're going to talk about being a newbie to Dragon Con.
Yes, yes. This is my first year.
Oh,
that's so cute.
So talk about it. Let's hear what you have to say. Why are you going to the con for the first time?
Well, I'd always wanted to go, but it's always been way out of my price range. I got lucky enough. One of my fellow podcast members got my ticket for me. And I've heard a lot of great stories from people who have gone. I've seen a lot of reports and just really excited about going, and I'm hoping to meet John Barrowman. That's the top thing on my list, but
you might have to get around Darren.
Yeah.
Darren usually blocks people from trying to get too close to him.
I start cutting people. It does not get pretty.
That's all right. I'm small. I can crawl under you. I'm very short.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm.
I'm very sneaky.
Very sneaky. Okay, now I'm watching.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
That is awesome. That is great. So what drew you to wanting to come to DragonCon for the first time?
I've always been a big nerd. Even as a kid, I read comic books. I watched Batman. I grew up loving Batman. My dad was a big influence into the comic book scene. And when I heard about DragonCon, I was just like, oh my God, I have to go. But, you know, being young and you don't have a job, so you can't really afford those kind of tickets and you're on a budget. So, never really got to go. So this year, I managed to get a ticket out of my fellow podcast member, so-called boy and boyfriend, actually. And I was just wanting to go to experience it because I've been to MomoCon, I've been to AWA, and DragonCon is a lot bigger, and I want to see and experience the bigger version before I finally get money to go to Comic-Con. So, yeah.
Well, very cool. Comic-Con and DragonCon are two different beasts, but this will be a great introduction for you.
You're not
afraid of crowds, are you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it gets a little toasty and crowded in there, so.
Well, actually, I kind of have I'm very anxious out in public, but when it's a geeky thing, like a convention or a concert, I'm fine. But everyday life, no, not so much.
Okay, that's good to know. What, you know, are you going to be staying down there or are you going to be just doing the day thing?
No, I'm going to be there the full weekend. A friend of mine actually lives in Atlanta, so I'll be staying with her to save on budget.
Nice.
Yeah, because hotels are way too expensive for DragonCon, especially when you work fast food to support your photography and everything else. So, yeah.
Nope, totally makes sense. What are you looking forward to the most?
Meeting new people and meeting like some of the guests that are going to be there, like John Barrowman, Jason David Frank. I've read that several of the original Rangers are going to be there, so I'm really excited about possibly meeting them. Garrett Wang's going to be there. I met him at GMX, so I'm really looking forward to meeting him again. And then Rob Paulson's also going to be there, who I also have met before. The last time I met him, I forgot my camera, so I was like, crap. So I tweeted him, and I was like, so when's the next time you're going to be in Atlanta? And he's like, I'm going to be at DragonCon. So I was like, awesome. I will see you there.
Yeah. Nice. That is actually very, very cool. And other than John Barrowman and Garrett, is there other people you want to see? What kind of geekdom, you know, are you going to get involved with?
All of it. You're going to have John Barrowman there, the guy who played Mickey in Doctor Who. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I actually got like 30 of my friends into Doctor Who, so I'm really excited to meet all them, and the Torchwood gang's going to be there. Who else? The Power Ranger people. There was one other one. I think Warehouse 13 people are going to be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to see all them. I range from comic books to sci-fi to anime to all of it, all forms of geekdom.
Very nice. What are your impressions since this is your first DragonCon? You've been to MomoCon, which is getting bigger and bigger, and you've been to a couple other cons. Have you, watched some of the TV shows about DragonCon, or are you just going off of word of mouth of what people are telling you?
No, I've seen a couple of the shows that they've done about it, and then I've had a lot of my friends who have gone, they're like, oh my God, you know, it's not, you're just going to be blown away, and I'm just like, oh boy, this is going to be great. Because I went to MomoCon in 2011 for the first time, and that's when it was at Georgia Tech, before they started charging. And then I got really into that, and I went to MomoCon last year and met a lot of people. I dressed up as a Bleach character, Ruki Akuchiki, and did a photo shoot with a bunch of people, and I was the only Rukia, so that was fun. And then I went to AWA, and it's like bigger than MomoCon is. So it's like I've taken baby steps to get me prepared for DragonCon.
Excellent. Basically, who are you going to dress up for Dragon Con?
For Dragon Con, I have a couple that are two or three that I'm doing. I may bring out Rukia again, simply because she's very easy to do, and I can just throw her together real quick. I got a Dalek cosplay off my a friend of mine who she does costuming and everything. So I'll be doing a Dalek one day. And then I'll be Raven from Teen Titans probably Saturday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Actually, it's great because you actually sound a little bit like Raven.
Yeah.
And it's great because we've met Tara Strong before, who does the voice, and you get it really, really yeah. well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yay.
So yeah. she would be very impressed.
It's very,
got
it's,
issues.
Yeah, she does.
She has daddy issues.
Yeah, she's not the only one. But I was introduced to Raven this year. My older brother, he's like, I've been asking a lot of people, you know, for recommendations on what I should do as far as cosplays. And my older brother is like, oh, you should do Raven from Teen Titans. I'm like, well, I've heard of her, but I've never actually sat down and watched the show. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I looked her up. I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to do research. I started watching the show. I started reading fanfics. I read a couple of excerpts from the comics. And I was like, oh, man, I really like her. Yeah, I got obsessed with Teen Titans. I finished the cartoon in about a week. Yeah. So I did a lot. So I was like, yeah, I can totally pull this off. I actually have got it mostly done. I've still got to finish her cloak and the cover for the boots and the belt. The belt's giving me the hardest time. I'm so frustrated with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also, you know that... also, the artist that created Raven is going to be at the show also, George Perez. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes. George Perez is a great guy. You should go to the art show and the artist alley and get there early in the morning and make an effort to meet Mr. Perez, preferably in your Raven costume, because mm-hmm. odds are he'll want to take a picture of you with him in it.
I totally will.
One of the nicest people you will ever meet.
He's going to be your best friend you haven't met yet.
Awesome. I'm excited.
So definitely, he's down in Artist Alley, and you can't miss him. He usually wears a very loud Hawaiian shirt.
Awesome. Kind of like Mike.
Kind of, exactly.
He doesn't say howdy.
Yeah. When I met Mike at the free comic book day thing in Greenville, I walked up and I saw this Hawaiian shirt, and it's freezing out there. And I'm just like, how are you in this shirt? It's so cold. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Very nice guy.
That is awesome. That is truly, truly awesome. That, you know, Mike is a great, you know, introduction to us. So that's perfect.
Yeah, totally.
So would you be willing to come back on the show after Dragon Con to tell us about your experiences?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We would love to have you because we're going to do a follow-up show after the con, and we will then also talk, you know, all about it, all our experiences and what we saw, you know, positive, negative, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it would be great to have you, especially since it's your first time.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you happen to see any of us around the con or come to any of the ESO panels, yeah, we'd love to get your opinion, you know, your thoughts while you're at the con.
Oh, you absolutely. Know,
while your mind is exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, when I come back, if I meet the guy, I'm going to have to write down his name or find it again. I'll definitely probably gush about that and fangirl, and yeah. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Well, very cool. Well, thank you for coming by and joining us. Any last thoughts?
Not really. I mean, just If you want, you know, you could check us out over at the Death Star Canteen podcast. We are not officially up and running yet, but I'm trying to get us there. So,
what's your podcast going to be about?
It's basically about sci-fi is our main gear. So basically anything sci-fi, but we also do comic books and we expand further just to try to reach out and get more fans involved. I actually recently did a 2-hour interview with Grace Jeanette. She's a little girl that was in the My Chemical Romance videos for Na 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 and Sing. She worked with the band and Grant Morrison and a few other people, so it's pretty interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm like the PR person for our podcast, so the only one with experience.
Very, very cool. That's great. I'm really, you know, good luck with it and everything.
Thank you.
Definitely poke our heads in there and, you know, hear what you guys are up to.
Alrighty. Thanks.
All right. That was fun talking to Raven and wish her luck at the con.
She's going to need it.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of surviving the con, let's now talk to Darren about the party guide.
All right. Well, here are the – now, we have to disclaimer this because these are the official parties put on at Dragon Con. This is by all means not all the parties. It's not room parties. Sometimes you'll just be standing in the Pulse Bar Lounge. I consider that the standard always going on party at Dragon Con. So, and that's at the Marriott. Anytime you want to go have a little party, go to the Pulse Bar Lounge at the Marriott, and you're typically going to be okay, all right? But here are some special event parties. You don't have to pay extra to get into them, but we wanted to make you aware of these events. If one of these, like, clicks into one of your fandoms and your wishes, here you go. So let's start with Thursday night. Yeah, I said Thursday night. You know the con doesn't start till Friday, right?
Whatever. Wednesday is the new Thursday.
I know. So Thursday night there are three parties. There is the Ether Lounge over at the Westin Thursday at 8:30 p.m. with friend of the station DJ Dr. Q. And that is more in the alternate history / steampunk world. So, hey, it's a casual mixer, meet-and-greet style meetup. Kind of like to kick off the track, I take it. And, by the way, most of these places, most of these rooms will have cash bars. So you really need to make sure you have your ID handy if you plan on imbibing any of the liquids offered to them. Okay? Also, in the American Sci-Fi Classics track, there is the Fest-O-Rama that is occurring, and that is Thursday at 8:30, and that is in the Marriott. And looks like what they're offering there is sociable fellow geeks, fans of classic sci-fi, snacks. If you want snacks, bring them. Beverages, bring them. If you want booze, that's what after parties in people's rooms are for. So it looks like they're just a gathering. Okay, but if you're into classic sci-fi, then go to it. Now, at the Pulse Bar on Thursday night, didn't I mention it was like a general party thing? There's something called the annual Bunny Hutch Con Kickoff. This is kind of a cool event. This is a really cool event where ladies will dress up like Playboy bunnies and gentlemen will wear their best smoking jackets and do their best Hugh Hefner impersonations. And so it's like you're kind of in a retro Playboy club, in a way.
Cool.
And that happens at the Pulse Bar Thursday at 9 p.m. in the Marriott. And that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. On Friday, now see, those are just
Hold on, I have one I'd like to add to Thursday, if you don't
Please
mind.
Please do. Please, I do not mind at all, Ms. Murray.
This is not anything to do actually associated with one of the tracks, but it's a get-together for Game of Thrones fans. On Thursday night, for both book fans and movie fans, or TV show fans, whatever, in costume or out of costume, show up, hang out. It's called a bar crawl, actually. There's an event for it on Facebook. And they're talking about either starting at the Pulse Bar or at the Hyatt. They haven't decided yet, but it should be a pretty fun event. I'm doing a modern-day Cersei Lannister costume, so you have lots of opportunities there. Should be fun.
Sweet. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So Friday, you have the Tolkien Trek is hosting an evening at Bree, in which they do dancing and celebration in suitable Middle Earth festivities, costumes, and music. So if you like the Tolkienverse, you like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, by all means, you want to go to 8:30 at the Centennial One in the Hyatt for that party. Also, 8:30 p.m. in the West End, we have the Avengers Ball, which is on the Whedonverse track, because, you know, we believe in Whedon. They are going to have some Captain America and USO Girls, and they will start with the 40s swing music and then move forward to modern times. I think that's a really cool idea. Stargate Multiversity Charity Night event, that will be taking place at Friday 8:30 at the Plaza Ballroom in the West End. So you can go back and forth from the Avengers Ball to Stargate and just have a great time. And performing at the Stargate Ball is the Ken Spivey Band. And he's been on the show before for last Dragon Con, wasn't he, Mark?
Sure was.
Okay. So moving on, we have a Very Venture Brothers party, which is in the International South at the Hyatt, Friday at 8:30 p.m. So I'm assuming that's a Venture Brothers event. So if you're a fan of Venture Brothers and Adult Swim on Cartoon Network, odds are that's your place to be on Friday night. There will be a World of Warcraft trivia and fan meetup. Not so much a party, I don't think. But hey, if you want to meet some of your fellow players without a computer screen in front of you during a raid, this might be a good place for you to do that, and that is Friday 8:30 in the Hilton, which is the home of gaming, I think.
That's what we call real-world meeting, folks.
Yes, like the Guild, you know. Doctor Who's 50th Anniversary Ball is in the Brit Track, and they are going to be doing that Friday 10 p.m. at the Imperial Ballroom in the Marriott. So dress in your finest Whovian garb or just dress up for the night and celebrate all things Doctor Who. Friday at 10 in the Sheraton, the zombie prom will be going on. So, hey, Walking Dead, George Romero fans, get your shambling, groaning butts over to the Sheraton and do a lot of so that ought to be fun. And that starts at 10 p.m. Friday night. And that's just the official parties. Wow. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things to do on Friday night.
This is crazy. Wow.
That's completely crazy. Saturday, we have Revenge of the Nerds, a Dragon Con homecoming dance. And this is the first time Dragon Con's done this. And so I'm going to read the whole event to you. Dust off those poofy dresses and that white tux. Tease up your hair. Step back in time in your best geeky finery. Dance the night away to hits from the 80s. Show off your sci-fi fantasy-themed gown or tuxedo as part of the homecoming court. Proceeds from this event will go towards this year's charities. Time and location has yet to be announced on that one, but it will be Saturday. So that sounds like a kind of fun retro event to go to. If you're not like specific to a track, you could always go to your prom again and have fun at your geek prom. That sounds cool. The Heroes and Villains Ball is brought to you by the DC MMO Heroes and Dragon Con's British Media Track. And they will be hosting DJ Genocide, and they'll be spinning until 2 a.m. And that is Saturday, 10 p.m. at the Grand Ballroom at the Sheraton. Also, at the Marriott will be the last party on Alderaan, which is kind of the Star Wars party from the Star Wars track people. And this is the house dance pop party. So that is Saturday, 10 p.m. Imperial Ballroom. Yuck, yuck, yuck. In the Marriott. And then a party that I will be at. So if you want to find me on Saturday night, it is the Rainbow Flag Party. And that's at the Atlanta Ballroom in the Sheraton, Saturday at 10 p.m. And that's the party for the LGBTQI fans at Dragon Con, hosted by the Costuming Track. And we'll be going until about 2 a.m.
Sounds
and
awesome.
I believe, and we're not mentioning it here, but Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night, I believe once these parties are over, kind of at 2 a.m. in the morning, there's a rave that's going on in the Marriott somewhere. So if you don't feel like you're done partying, you don't have to be done partying, okay? There's always something going on at Dragon, and it's a beautiful thing.
Walk down the hallways, listen for the sounds of partying, and if there's an open door, it's
go for it.
Party, yeah.
Exactly. Sunday. We've got more stuff going on Sunday. There is a Gothic Vampire Pool Soiree, and that is secretroom.net. And that is hosted by, let's see here. It doesn't really say. Secretroom.net, I guess. It's a Gothic Vampire fashion show. And so there'll be DJs in the cash bar, and that is Sunday, 6 p.m. at the Sheraton. Oh, we should also mention Tallulah's party, Pinups by the Pool. I think that's on Friday night, where she will have the Sheraton pool as well, doing the lovely retro ladies in their retro fashion swimsuits. And it's a very fun party, and everyone should go to it. It's very classy. There is the Magic Puppet Tea Party for puppets only. So this is very important. If you're going to this mixer, you must have a puppet with you. Puppets really? Are required to attend. I don't know what kind of puppet. I don't know if they want it to be a definite puppet or just your hand with a little hand drawn on it. But you have to have a puppet to attend, and that's Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in room A704 in the Marriott. And we are back to Dr. Q's world with the Mechanical Masquerade, the Retropolis. It's probably Retropolis. I don't know. They are going to be doing live music. They'll be DJing. There'll be waltz, swing, tango, and all kinds of other music. Basically, costumes, formal wear, mask. They're looking at basically being masked for this thing. It's a masquerade, after all. So there you go. And that ought to be fun. And that is at the Peachtree Ballroom at the West End, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Then we have the World of Warcraft Dark Moon Fair, and that is going to be in the Grand Ballroom East in the Hilton, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. And this is basically a kind of a LAN party where it's come and compete with your fellow WoW players in a series of contests based on popular pastimes in Azeroth. So there's going to be all kinds of contests based upon World of Warcraft. So if you play that game, and here's another chance to get away from your computer screen and actually go see real live people who play that game. Woo. Yule Ball is the last event here on the list. This is the official list, and I'm sure it will be updated. The Yule Ball is where you go to spend your evening at Hogwarts. So all you Potterverse people, bring the Muggles with you and have a gosh darn good time. There'll be a rock band and DJs dancing, and it starts Sunday at 8:30 in the Grand Ballroom at the Sheraton.
I'd like to note that that's a particularly child-friendly event. I went last year, and it was, I don't want to say mostly kids, but it was mostly kids.
So. Well, it does say this is an all-ages event, but there's often alcohol served where adults are present. Please accompany your underage children.
Sure, yeah. I think they had a cash bar, but it had a lot, you know, it was child-heavy compared to a lot of the other evening events.
Other events.
Yeah.
Well, and, the
Yule Ball. It was fun. It's fun, yeah.
It's at a school, so that makes sense. So sure. There you, so those are the official Dragon Con parties so far. I'm sure there'll be more on the schedule later, and of course that doesn't even touch the surface of the unofficial Dragon Con parties, which you will just find by stumbling into them. So,
sounds like it's going to be incredible, though.
It does.
If you don't go and have a great time at Dragon Con, you know, I think it's time to hang up your geek boots. Come on. These are geeks having fun. These are your peeps. Come on. As we like to
Indeed.
Say.
Indeed.
But before we go, let's touch on the Dragon Con survival kit. We've talked in the past quite a bit about what you should bring, what you shouldn't bring, and what to dress on and stuff. And we mentioned earlier one of the new points we wanted to definitely talk about real quick. If you're going to survive Dragon Con, folks, you definitely need to have some kind of, you know, if you're costuming and such, make sure your costume's worn in a little bit. If your clothes are very tight, if your clothes are going to be revealing, if your clothes are going to be, you know, binding, wear it a little bit so you're comfortable, so you know what to expect. Walk around the block out in the heat, because it does get hot here in Atlanta, and being inside a Dragon Con doesn't help with the heat either. You know, this is people all pressing against you, and a lot of your friends and everything. If you're going to have contact lenses on, try the contact lenses, wear them for long periods, because if you're going to be costuming and such, and you know, you're wearing contacts, you don't want to feel like you're clawing your eyes out right in the middle of the Marriott. And, you know, bathroom space is limited. There's plenty of it there, but just everyone else is going to be trying to use it too. So mm-hmm. trying to get in and out of your costume is another, you know, good fact to try. So, you know, be practical about this stuff.
I would also say that it has been an unusually wet summer here for us in Atlanta. Be prepared for all kinds of weather. It may be burning hot Labor Day weekend. It may be torrential downpour. We just don't know.
It could be in the 60s. We don't know. Be yep. prepared.
Right. But another thing for, and this works for costumers as well as for non-costumers, you're going to be sweating. You're going to be shaking a lot of hands. You know, we talked earlier about the con crud that Mike caught at another convention. You know, hand wipes. You know, they easily fit in your pocket. They can be your friend because you are going to be sweaty and you are going to be touching people. That's two things you pretty much can't avoid at this convention. So.
Exactly. And it's very, very, you know, pertinent that you basically stock up on vitamins, on emergency, mm-hmm. on hand sanitizer, you know, start using echinacea, vitamin C, try doing extra multivitamins 3 weeks before Dragon Con, all the way through the con. Try building up your immune system. You're going to need it.
Yeah, get some rest. Get some good sleep before the con if you can. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us are busy working on things up until the last freaking minute, but if you can, you know, you want to stay as rested as you possibly can beforehand.
Right.
So you can enjoy the con. So
a lot of the con, you know, you have to be able to enjoy it. And if you're upstairs with 102 temperature or feeling nauseous or whatever, you know, that's from alcohol. That's a different story. That's your own fault. But if you're got con crud, there's ways to prevent it. You don't have to get it.
Yeah, I know. I personally, because I know being in the crowd like that, it does mess with my sinuses. Because you know you're going to have different perfumes mingling, and some of the booths have smoke and whatnot. I take a cold and sinus pill every day, whether I need it or not. It's just a preventive medicine, you know, to help. And that generally helps me to kind of avoid the con crud.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the con crud's the biggest issue. The other big issue is deodorant.
Yes.
Yes. Bring extra deodorant. You might have to apply it a couple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be embarrassed.
I apply it 3 times a day. You know. It says 24-hour protection. I apply it 3 times a day. I put it in my... cargo pants,
yep.
or my shorts, and I go into the bathroom, go into one of the stalls, and I just do a quick apply because I'm sweating more than I have since last Dragon Con.
Yep. This is where the little travel size items come in handy that you can get at any kind of store.
Exactly. You
know, they're like $1 a piece or 50 cents a piece or whatever. Stock up on 2 or 3 of those. It's easy to carry with you. And then, you know, when it's done, you just toss it and you've got another one in your room for the next day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the best thing about it. It's just amazing how much success you will have, you know, be with the people around you. You can't control them, but you can control yourself. And if you're trying to meet people and stuff, the worst thing you could do is have body odor.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of nasty and gross.
And I think we've mentioned it many times. I think it was in our very first topic. The first time we did a Dragon Con episode was water. Put it in, you know, put plenty of it inside of you, and at least once a day, put you inside of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the best thing to do is, you know, carry, or it's not expensive to get one of those refillable water containers and just strap it to your belt or put it in your backpack or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have water. Trust me.
Right. Because the panel rooms generally have water. So there's plenty of places to refill it between water fountains and the water jugs, you know.
Exactly. Even in the vendor rooms, they have water, you know, water containers that you can get free water mm-hmm. at the hotels. They're just as concerned about you dehydrating as you should be about yourself.
Yep.
and everything. The worst feeling in the world is being surrounded by a ton of people and feeling dizzy and everything because you haven't been drinking enough water.
And a good rule of thumb is, especially if you're a person who is going to be partying and going to be drinking, one drink of alcohol and then one drink of water. Get a nice buzz and keep it to that level, because it's really easy to go over your limits at Dragon Con and then suddenly your party is no longer fun. Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful with that. You totally do. We did a lot of tips and a lot of things you need to pack and things you need to bring to Dragon on some of last year's stuff, and that is a way more in-depth list. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those earlier podcasts. For basically, we run down what goes into our suitcases. We don't want to bore people again with the same kind of information because it is a lot of the same stuff, but some of this stuff goes bears repeating again. So
exactly, and you know, check out our older episodes. We give a ton of advice for newbies and for veterans alike. You know, we try to help everybody, and we want to make it a favorable experience for everybody. And that's all we can say. It's less than 30 days away, folks. And we will be back real soon with another episode. I want to first thank everybody who joined us for this wonderful show tonight. Let's thank everybody who's here right now. Let's, of course, thank Darren for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always nice being here in the station.
And how can people find you, sir?
You can find me on legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com.
Okay. And do you want to tell people to find you up on Facebook, Renee?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook.
Because they'll probably be able to find a lot of your DragonCon schedule and such.
Yeah, like that's very true. That's very true. So
very cool. And Mary?
Yes. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter as Mary Lou Who. Actually, on Twitter, I'm Mary Lou Who Blog and MaryLouWho.com.
Very, very, very cool. And then we also have to thank our guests, of course. We have to thank Mr. Bobby Nash.
Oh, so happy to be here. Always a fun time up on the station. Well, and to get to come up twice to the station this week, that's good for me.
Exactly. You know, those teleporter rays, you know, are good for you. It helps with the complexion.
Yeah, exactly. You can find me. I post a lot on the ESO Network Facebook group. So definitely want to get people to come up there and visit and join. And you can also find me at facebook.com/author Bobby Nash is my author page. And I'm on Twitter at Bobby Nash. And my website is bobbynash.com.
Exactly. Very, very, very cool, sir. And, you know, we'll see you on Monday for the next ESO.
Yes, yes.
Whew, we're busy.
I know, it's like, don't you realize we have 30 days till Dragon Con? How do we have time to podcast?
Yes, I know. Also want to, of course, thank Sam Douglas for joining us. Sam is involved, of course, with the media group over at Dragon Con. And, you know, if you see her over there, you know, say hi to her and say you heard her on ESO. She's a really nice person, and she'd go, who? No. I want to thank the assistant track director for Trick Tracks, RJ Lennon. He was a great sport with us tonight and told us all about the very cool Star Trek stuff going on. Very, very cool. And, of course, I want to thank Raven for joining us. It's going to be interesting to see what her views on Dragon Con are after the show.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely be, you know, or as we like to call it, de-virginizing event and everything. So it should be kind of cool. ESO is going to be everywhere at Dragon Con. We've mentioned it a couple times on our other podcasts, but we might as well mention it here. We have three official panels going on with ESO. Put them in order. Saturday, we will be first at 4 p.m. We are going to put ESO is going to put the American Classic Sci-Fi in the geek seat. It's going to be over at the Marriott involved with the American Sci-Fi, Classic Sci-Fi. Don't have room numbers yet, but that will be available very, very soon. Then Saturday night, Earth Station Who is going to have Doctor Who, Past, Present, and Future. And that's also going to be the 50th episode of Earth Station Who to tie in with the 50th anniversary Doctor Who. Pretty cool.
50 episodes already.
Yeah, exactly. Then on Sunday at 2:30, ESO is going to be involved with the podcast panel group over at the Hilton, and we are doing ESO Live. So should be actually kind of fun to do. And it's going to be a mini version of our regular show, and we're going to be talking about Dragon Con. How about that? You'd be shocked about that. Mm. Then we want to invite everybody Sunday night at 10 p.m. in the lower lobby of the Marriott. We are doing the ESO Network show. This could be our third annual ESO Network show. And we are going to have everyone who's available from the different shows, including White Rocket, Dr. Geek, Transmissions from Atlantis, and probably even the Retro Ratchet cast, you know. Should be very cool to see everybody there on the network and stuff. And we're going to invite listeners to the show. Keep track, folks. We are going to be doing something really big. It should be kind of fun to do. Last year's show was pretty amazing. And for those who were sober enough to remember, it was actually pretty fun.
Hey.
So it should be kind of... So with that being said, my name is Mike Faber. We hope Mike Gordon gets well soon. We want to hear his howdy once again.
Howdy.
Exactly. So until then, feedback, you know, is always esopodcast@gmail.com. If you have any memories you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Till next time, only 30 days left, folks. Today, officially as is recording, 30 days to the Dragon Con parade. See you then. Peace.
I said, hey, little girl, what do you do? I've been waiting all week for something like you. Cause it's Friday night and everybody's in the streets. I say, come on. Thursday's the first day, Friday's great, cause I can hardly wait until the weekend. I should be clocking in at 8, but I'm a little late. Can't pay my baby cause I'm thrown a date. 3 till 10, and then it's Friday again. Here come the weekend. Here come the weekend. Here come the weekend. The working week's so tough, I think I've had enough until the weekend.
Been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.